Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee from Prevent Connect, and in the last several months, I've had a chance to see about a project that's just started called the Consensual Project, and been reading blogs and seeing tweets, and wanted to get a chance to be able to learn more about what the Consensual Project is about. So I am happy to be able to this morning talk to Ben Privett, who is the founder of the Consensual Project. How are you doing this morning, Ben?
I feel fantastic. David, thank you so much for having me, and thanks to all the listeners who consented to listen.
It's interesting. When I went to your website, you actually posed the question, when you come to the website, do you consent to come into our website? So you're really taking the concept of consent and putting it up front and center.
Thank you. I'm trying to do it as many places as possible.
Ben, can you describe what the Consensual Project is?
The Consensual Project partners with schools and universities to bring students a fresh understanding of consent. The innovative curriculum, workshops, and website empower young people to incorporate consent into their daily lives. The Consensual Project essentially is committed to helping students connect through consent.
Can you describe how you see the concept of consent as being part of the work to prevent sexual violence and dating violence? How do you see that?
I see consent as being the exact antithesis to sexual violence, but I also see consent as being something that not only provides safety in our romance, but also something that's extraordinarily intimate, and that's essentially the foundation to my work, is showing students that it will make your relationship safer, more trusting, more accountable, but also it will make your relationships more intimate and more romantic as well.
So you're sort of appealing to what are the interests that a lot of young people have, of that they want to be able to have fulfilling, intimate relationships. It's interesting to be able to look at this project, and you have a lot of different activities. Why don't you describe what some of the different types of activities that the Consensual Project helps support?
Essentially, what I wanted to do was provide a project that helps students bring consent to their campus in as many ways as possible. So obviously the workshop is one way in which students can do that, and I've made the workshop publicly available. So if students can't afford to bring in a speaker, considering a lot of budgets are cut given the recession and so forth, I still want consent to be on that campus. I still think students deserve to have safe as well as intimate romantic relationships, and I can support the students on campus by providing them the workshop, the facilitation manual, and the PowerPoint so they can learn it and share it with their fellow students. But as well, I figured that let's just try to bring consent to as many places as possible. And if we're really looking to change the sexual landscape on college campuses, let's identify the parts in which we can really make some strong strides. And one of those is, in my experience, dance parties. When I was in school, I noticed that a lot of dance parties weren't as consensual as I would have liked. And a lot of my friends shared that same experience. And from everyone who I've talked to, unfortunately, they share that same experience. So if dance parties are one of the places where hookup culture really takes form, why not bring consent into that culture? So I provide students a facilitation manual to be very formal about it, but essentially it's just a way for them to host a party where they have a very easy way of introducing consent into that space. So then consent becomes essentially embedded into the hookup culture before the hookups begin. So when it comes time to hook up, consent is already foundational, so it can take off. I think, honestly, the core of consent isn't about abstinence, and it's not about sex. I think the foundation of consent is about understanding the vital ways in which we communicate our boundaries and then communicate our interests. So one of the things that I try to maintain throughout the entire component to this project is really avoiding any stance on sexual behavior and just communicating that the Consensual Project supports whatever decisions you make so long as you make consent the foundation to those decisions.
Let's talk about the workshop a little bit. The workshop is called Consent from Hookups to Relationships. You have materials so people can be able to get materials so they can actually do this workshop themselves if they want. Can you describe what type of things do you do in this workshop?
There are tons of different relationship models other than hookups and relationships, and I just wanted to essentially give people a title that people can connect with pretty readily. But I just want to quickly address that there are tons more relationship models other than just hookups and relationships. But essentially in my workshops, I'm trying to put together several core learning objectives that help students understand, explore, and enjoy consent. And those are body language is not reliable, that sexual pleasure exists on a spectrum, and that in order to really understand what the person that you're with is trying to communicate, and understanding sexual communication at its core, you're going to need to incorporate some form of explicit verbal consent.
Great. Now, I'm looking at some of the market. You provide some marketing material. You describe them as outreach materials, and you have some posters that people can be able to download. And in several of them, you actually advertise it with free sex toys. Why do you do that?
Well, I do indeed. I have a history of having organized a lot on college campuses. When I was in school, I was a part of a bunch of different student organizations and student groups. And this project started because I ended up hosting a workshop for my campus, and I advertised free sex toys because when you provide students something that they're really excited about, something that students really want, it's just an extraordinary way for them to immediately come to the event. And then once you have them, you have a really great opportunity not only to lighten the mood and connect with students that way, but also just to have them really engaged with the material. So I provide free sex toys because, A, I want people to embrace their sexuality. That I know that there's a lot of sexual shame around sex toys. And if that's something you're into, great. If it's not, that's totally awesome as well. But I certainly don't want to pass any judgment. But as well, it's just an extraordinary opportunity for students to come to the event, and it's kind of just a reflection of the atmosphere that I'm trying to create, which is fun, exciting, as well as very educational.
So when I'm looking at the work that the Consensual Project does, I think about its role in prevention. And you sort of described this earlier as consent is the antithesis of sexual violence, and that you're coming up with a way of promoting the type of behavior that we want to be able to see. How do you see this fitting into a sexual violence or dating violence prevention comprehensive program?
I see this as a great way to prevent sexual violence, because when you really start to engage with consent and enjoy consent and understand consent, does sexual violence become less possible? Does sexual violence become less of a likelihood? And I know that a lot of people don't necessarily intend to be sexually violent, but sometimes without really understanding consent at its core and understanding how to address a lot of the dilemmas that sexual communication kind of poses for us, that unfortunately sexual violence can occur. So when we really start to understand consent, does sexual violence become less likely? Does sexual violence become less of an opportunity? And that's really the core of what I want to try and accomplish.
For me, I think that you've got some activities that might fit really well into a plan that's going to also be working on developing policies at a campus on how they're going to be able to respond to sexual assault, to make sure that they're going to be able to have regular education, making sure that the school judicial system is going to be able to respond effectively, that the law enforcement is going to be appropriately trained, and to be able to have information available to students and also be able to provide other types of education around the issue. I think this just fits really well to that range of activities, because we know one workshop in a poster won't make the change in itself for the whole campus, but it's a way that can help contribute to creating that environment.
Essentially, one of the things that I want to do in my workshop is I have a no exercise where students practice asking but also practice asserting their boundaries. And I know that a lot of the barriers that prevent us from really expressing no is recognizing the pressures that prevent us from saying no. So we cover that in the workshop. And after the workshop, I've often had students come up to me and say, "Dan, this is so extraordinary. I really appreciate it. I definitely feel a lot more comfortable asserting my boundaries." And I think that's just an extraordinary way to help prevent sexual violence by empowering students to assert their boundaries and also empowering students to respect others when they do assert their boundaries.
We don't want to get to the place where we're only putting the full burden for preventing sexual violence on people saying, "Assert your boundaries." That would be obviously a way that would be problematic. We have to think about how we're going to be able to work with people so that they will respect other people's boundaries, how people can be able to be in best position to be safe, and also how do we create an environment. And that's what I like about the dance piece. How do we create environments and social communities that say that this is unacceptable, and work towards creating the types of norms that are going to contribute to creating healthy relationships? So how would people get more information about the Consensual Project?
You can visit one of our many social media outlets, as many organizations are now pursuing. You can check out our website, theconsensualproject.com. You can visit our Facebook page. You can visit our Twitter. And we also have a YouTube channel where I post videos as well as share different interviews that I have with some colleagues when it comes to consent.
Great. So people can visit the Consensual Project at www.theconsensualproject.com. Well, thank you, Ben, for taking a few minutes to talk with me about your work, and I wish you well.
David, thank you so much for providing me the platform to share consent, and thanks to all listeners who consented to listen as well. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing. It's really fantastic.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.